Amen. Let's just stand. Let's just sing that song, Amazing Love. I'm forgiven because he was forsaken. Amen.
And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. And I'm accepted. You were condemned. Now I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Sing that again. I'm forgiven.
Well, I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. Now I'm accepted. You were condemned. Well, I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, amazing love. I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. Amazing love, amazing love. How can it be, Jesus, that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, amazing love. I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you.
You are my King.
Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Lord Jesus, you are my King. Lord Jesus, you are my.
That's amazing love,
amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, amazing love. I know it's true.
Hallelujah, Lord.
And it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you
in all I do.
In all I do, I honor you. In all I do, I honor you. And I have a Father. He calls me his own, and he'll never leave me, no matter where I go. Oh, he knows my name.
Yes, he does.
He knows my every thought, and he sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call.
I have a Maker,
and I before even time began. My life was in His hand. Oh, He knows my, I'm so glad He knows my name, and He knows my every thought, and He sees each tear that falls. And He hears me when I call. Oh, He knows my name. I'm so glad He knows my name. And He knows my every thought. He sees each tear. Oh, hears me when I call. Oh, He knows my name. I'm so glad He knows my name. And He knows my every thought. And He sees each tear that falls. And He hears me when I call. Oh, yes, He hears me when I call. Oh, yes, He hears me when. He hears me when I call. He hears me when I call.
Give the Lord a round of applause, saints. Amen. Aren't you glad He hears you when you call? Amen. Amen. We just have one prayer request here. We have a few announcements. We'll be having a work night on Friday night for all those who can attend. Then also, we'll be having a carry-in, I believe, over next door, right, on Sunday after service. So, amen. Keep those things in remembrance. Amen. We have one prayer request from Brother Philip and Sister Cindy for our niece Ashley, who just delivered a healthy boy today, that she does not have to have a blood transfusion done. So, amen, let's keep her in prayer, amen. We know God is able, amen. Just going to ask Brother Simon if he'd come lead us in a word of prayer, amen. Also the tithes and the offerings.
Amen. It's good to have Big Dave back. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Dear my Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we love You, God. And Lord Jesus, Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for giving us another year here, God, and getting us through this year, Lord, of death, God, Lord. Lord, we felt it, God, Lord, and Lord, just getting us through that, God, showing You can conquer death, God, Lord. And Lord, we believe, Lord, Lord, and we're praying, Lord, 2014 has got great things, Lord, in store for the bride, God, Lord. We're, Lord, looking forward to it, Lord, with anticipation, God, Lord, looking for new souls, God, Lord, and who You'd have us to witness to, yes, God, who do You want us, Lord, to be, Lord, help us to gain that saltiness back, God, in our lives, yes, God, Lord, it would draw others to You, God. And Lord, for surely, Lord, the Bible says, no, we can't add one cubit to our stature, Lord, so it's going to take You, God, Lord.
Yes, Father.
Like our brother used to say, Lord, we may not have what we want, but we know how to ask for it, God, Lord. And Lord Jesus, all we have to do is, Lord, put a petition before You, God, Lord.
Yes,
go boldly before the throne, God, Lord, knowing, Lord, You made a free way to You, God, Lord, through Jesus Christ, God. And Lord, we're just asking, Lord, You just strengthen us, God, Lord. And Lord Jesus, Lord, we rebuke any spirit, Lord, that would try and hinder this service, God, Lord. Lord, let's just law, Lord, just pull on the gift, God, Lord, and just lift You up in worship as best we can, God, Lord, for Your, Lord, worthy of all worship, God, and all praise, Lord. We love You so much, Lord. And Lord, thank You for the sister here, God, not needing a blood transfusion, God, Lord. Just bless her, God, and her child, God, Lord. And Lord, just lead her to You, God, Lord. And Lord, just use each one, God. We love You so much, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Just sing that song, Burn, Burn, Holy Spirit, Burn in Me. Amen.
Burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. Set my heart on fire.
Pressing towards the mark of the high calling. Can't wait. This is in our heavenly home. Up there is our heavenly home. Amen. Not far from this spot right now. Amen. Pressing on the upward way, man, no matter how hard it is.
I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet your ground.
Lord,
lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table and a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Well, where these abide, my prayer, my aim is higher.
Oh, Lord, Lord,
lift me up,
Lord, lift me up. Just let me stand by faith on heaven's table and
a higher place. Plant my my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world. Though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher.
Just sing that song, by and by, when the morning comes, amen. We'll understand it better, by and by, amen. As our brother, our pastor Cam would come tonight, amen.
We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests oft succeed a bright sunshine. In the land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, by and by. Oh, when the morning comes.
Yes, Lord.
When all the saints of God, we will tell the story how we overcome. For we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better. Morning. Oh, yes, when all the saints of God, oh, we will tell the story how we overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promise. Oh, but He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. For we'll,
hallelujah, Lord, better by and by.
By and by and by and by. When all the saints of God, oh, we will tell story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, temptations, hidden snares, often can take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed us for a thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test, when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better. Well, by and by, oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God, you know we'll tell the story. Oh, then we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, temptations, hidden snares, often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for many thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test, but we try to do our best, for we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, and by and by. Hallelujah. Oh, when all the saints of God, you know we'll tell the story. For then we'll better by and by. Oh, now trials on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to His blessed promise. Oh, but He guides us with His eyes, and we'll follow till we die. For we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, and by and by. Oh, when that morning comes, and all the things of God.
Oh, by and by, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathering home, we will tell the story, how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Amen. Amen. Happy New Year. Praise God. Amen. We wish everyone a Happy New Year. By the grace of God, just maybe see it for a second here. Good to see everybody able to press it out tonight. I didn't know how many would be afraid of the snow. I heard it took a little tour a little north of us for a while. It's just got a good God, don't we? I'm really not crying to have that 6 inches of snow. Praise God. But by the grace of God, we just want to say we love and appreciate the Lord. We're found ourselves traveling into another year with our God. Amen. He's ordained us to be here. He's ordained us to once again serve Him for another year of our life. So we're going to do our best to do that. Amen. Praise God. Just want maybe like to say a few things. I went to Akron last night and preached there. The Lord really blessed. We had a wonderful time. And I believe that they're thoroughly moved. Amen. And we just thank God for allowing that opportunity. It's one of the better times I've had there. Just really, really, wasn't a lot of people there, but the Spirit of God sure was there. And I don't care where God sends me as long as that's there. Amen. Praise God. It's also, we do have Brother Dave here this evening. I just can't help him. He's just my old chum. Brother Dave, he's... See how much people love you? I didn't got to the big thing. You see, Brother Dave has come here a different person tonight. He now has been engaged to his better half. Amen? It's really not his better half. They're both pretty good halves if you ask me. That's just the saying that they say. But anyway, by the grace of God, we're happy to celebrate that here. Amen? in 2014, what God has done in our brother's life to bring him here. It's good to see Brother Philip here as well this evening. Amen. Amen. It's good to see all the rest who have traveled so long and far to be here this evening. Amen. And like I said, we're going to do our best not to hold you tremendously long this evening. It's got a little thought, and we'll just jump into that by the grace of God and just let God have his way this evening. I'm a little hoarse by the grace of God. I didn't get home till about 2 o'clock this morning. Didn't get to bed till even later. But anyway, we're happy to be a Christian. Amen. The battles are great and the battles rage on, but we have such a great God amongst us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So anyway, with that being spoke, like I said, I pray that you've enjoyed 2013 at Living Waters Tabernacle. And we pray that God will thoroughly join us again in 2014. And will allow his presence to be here even greater. And God would do great, great things far above our imaginations this year. And as the days are winding down here, we believe that God is also going to be pouring himself more into the church. Amen. And that's really what we're looking forward to. Amen. But anyway, there's a lot of things that you could preach on a New Year's Day. But I just feel kind of led to go this direction this evening. It really has nothing to really do with New Year's, kind of. But you know, your New Year's is usually a time when you just blast the people and say, get it right. The New Year's here. You don't need a New Year's resolution. You need to quit being a sinner. But anyway, by the grace of God, I've been felt led to go a little bit different of a direction this evening. And it's a tremendous topic and something I've never seen before. But yet God opened it up to me the other day. And I pray it'll be a blessing to you. Amen? So I know one thing that I'm becoming more and more of. I'm becoming a thorough lover of the Word of God. I just love the Word of God. And I'm finding that every time I'm opening that book, God is opening something to me. And a lot of times I'm just amazed. I'm like, how many times can I read over that? And that's been sitting there too. And then I find myself, I'll preach on that. Then I'll come back and God will show me something different on the same angle, on the same scripture, a different angle. I think at one scripture I preached three different directions out of the same on the same scripture. But I'm saying all this to say that the book is an open book to me. This book should be an open book to you. You can understand it. You can become it. Amen. You are called and chosen to be in this bride. Amen. So tonight, we're going to move you on into a topic that I'm sure almost all, if not all, have never heard about. But by the grace of God, if you'd like to stand for the reading of the Word this evening, like I said, God will give you just enough Word and just allow you to get home safe. We'll make sure we pray that when we leave, amen. God will just allow us all to get home safe. And I pray above all, you know what? What better could you do on a Christmas day than come to the house of God? What better could you do on a New Year's Day than to come to the house of God? God is the focal point of our religion, amen. God is the focal point of our daily life. It's all about Him, amen. So what are you showing tonight by being here? God, you're my number one. Be my number one in this new year, God. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter if I've been feeling good, if I've been feeling down, if I've been going running ragged by the devil, by the grace of God. God, you are my God. I will stand by your word, and I love you, and I'm here to serve you again. Amen. Praise God. Let's open up our Bibles, if we could, to Exodus 22, verse 21. Completely moved by the Holy Ghost last night. I preached really hard. And I'll preach hard tonight too, but I know one thing, I'm tired. And my throat hurts. But praise God, what is that to my God? My God can make a throat not hurt and He can make a body not tired. Amen. I just want to get moved aside because remember, we were an entertaining seventh seal worship here. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So Exodus 22, verse 21. After that, we're going to go to Exodus 23, verse 9. And then lastly, we will go to John 13. Exodus 22, 21 says, "Thou shalt neither vex a stranger, nor oppress him. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." Here we go. Exodus 23, verse 9. We'll pick up our title out of this scripture right here. There's a lot in this. I don't think I can preach it all tonight. God help me. If it starts snowing, I want God, the Holy Ghost to move us where we need to go. Amen. Exodus 23, 9 says, "Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger." Notice how being a stranger can be easily linked to oppression. Now notice this as we pick up our title right here. "For ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." Praise God. Our title this evening will be "The Heart of a Stranger." Last portion, John 13, verse 34. John 13, 34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Now, why did he call this a new commandment? Very simply, before we pray, because in the scripture, it was told in the Old Testament that you love your people, but your enemies, you hate them and kill them. So Christ brings forth a new commandment now saying you love everyone. You love your enemies. You love everybody. Praise God. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, how we love you this evening, God. And Lord, here we are, Lord, getting ready for a new year, God. And this is kind of a different New Year's sermon, God. But I pray, Lord, that you just bring what you want to bring out of it, God. Take me the path you'd have me to go, God. If you want me to leave this sermon, God, and you just have me as a starting point here, Lord, that's fine too, God. But Lord, I just want in 2014, God, I want to be more yielded to you, God. I want to be able a better servant to you, God. I want to know you, God. And Lord, I pray the church realizes they need to know you as well. Lord, I believe we're all in that same place, God. And Lord, how nervous of a time it is where we see, oh God, danger getting ready to strike at every hand, God. But Lord, our God is greater than all of that. You're so real, God. And Lord, I pray, oh God, that Lord, it'd be just like David, oh God. Though you lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, God, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort us, oh God. I just pray tonight, Lord, that you'd certainly, Lord, add your blessings to the Word. God, Lord, let the church be into the Word tonight. Let me be into the Word tonight, God. Lord, so that the God that's speaking to us, we can respond to that God. That God can once again respond to us afterwards to that as well, Lord. I just pray you just add your blessing now, Lord, to the reading of this Word, Lord, in this sermon. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride, said together, amen. You may be seated. There's a lot of ways that you can take this evening, moving into this title, "The Heart of a Stranger." But yet, if we had a topic this evening, we'd like to give it "Pilgrims and Strangers." And by the grace of God, we'll move into this a little bit. If we had an opportunity, perhaps, to look at what a stranger is, it's a visitor or it's a foreigner. A stranger is someone who's in a place that's not his home. Praise God. I pray you'd help me preach tonight. So by the grace of God, we see that God, when He begins to move Israel into their possession as far as moving them out of Egypt, He is now taking them through the journey of the wilderness to the promised land. And we find out that He brings forth commandments to His people. And this is one of the commandments that, of course, we've just read about that God begins to give to His people. And I want us to look at this very carefully this evening because I believe there's a great message if we could just get it. I don't have the ability to get it to you tonight, but I pray that if I could just give myself aside and you would help the Lord to be free tonight, that God would be able to get that to you. Amen. But I'd like us to see here that literally God tells Moses, you tell the people of Israel that when God would allow a stranger to come into the land with them, that they were not allowed to oppress that stranger, amen? Or that visitor, or that person that didn't belong. And anyway, this evening, I want us to see exactly what we're trying to say. If we go back to Exodus 23, verse 9, I want you to see why God says this. Now remember, in Abraham's day, God told Abraham, your seed would sojourn in a place not their home for 400 years. But God would bring them out from with a strong hand, remember? And by the grace of God, we find out that He did do that. But God, He sent them in there for bondage. But I want us to understand, but He is actually trying to teach them a lesson about what their journey would be. Amen? Praise God. Notice, so when God allowed them to dwell in Egypt that long, He was actually trying to bring something about within them. And it took 400 years. Now, in Exodus 23, 9, it says, also thou shalt not oppress a stranger. Now, why? Why are they not to oppress a stranger? It says, for you, ye know the heart of a stranger. Amen. So notice, God points to them. Now, remember, this is the same God that told them, when you go into the land, utterly destroy everything there that's contrary to your dominion of that land. Amen. But notice here, He tells them, He says, if a stranger come in to be in your midst, to be around you, He says, don't oppress them because you know. Not that you shall know, but that they would have already known what it was like to be a stranger. They knew what it was like to not belong. They knew what it was like to be oppressed. They knew what it was like to wonder why you're at the place you're at. Why you're doing the things you're at. Why you are called to be in the place that you're now seated at. If I can make it present tense. But notice He tells them, you have this heart. Now, why was He saying this? Because this was the acceptable place of worship under this God. Amen. I know I shouldn't be losing nobody tonight. This is pretty simple. But notice He says, for ye know the heart of a stranger. Seeing you are strangers in the land, of Egypt. So he says, what? Now remember, church, I'm not jumping yet, but I want you to understand that Egypt is a type of the world. Yes, we're getting into our topic a little bit. I'll stop right there. But yet, I want to move a little bit more. So notice, Israel had the heart of a stranger. When they were leaving Egypt, they felt the pressures of the strange land that they were in. And what did they say? They literally said, "Let us return to Egypt." Now, God put them on the path to the promise. But what? They had the heart of a stranger, so they wanted to go back to where they were from. So literally, God was taking them from something that was not their home. But they what? Because they lived there so long, they learn how to feel like a stranger. You realize that? There they were in the wilderness, God smoting rocks open and feeding them with water, dropping quail from the skies and dropping manna. And here they are saying, "I think I'd rather go back there." So what are you trying to say? The experience of a stranger, when it's under bondage, you get used to living that way. But when you're actually put into the place that you're moving to where you really know you're supposed to be, it is a complete place of uncertainty. They were more uncertain with being in God's promise than knowing that they were fully out of the will of God in Egypt. Oh, praise God, church. Here's the issue. You never knew. You never knew that you were a stranger until you left Egypt. And when you left Egypt, what? It's not that you still, what? It's not that you found your place. You didn't find your place yet. You left the world. But what? You're traveling to somewhere. You're looking for something. But you just haven't fully found it yet. So what? In the Christian experience, you find a level of uncertainty. But what? God gave you a faith so that you would be pleased to live with that uncertainty. Because the faith says there's a possession. But if you fall under what? If you fall into a place in looking for your calling, so to say, or your position from God, you will literally, what? You'll find yourself dying. And something trying to claim back. When the whole experience of God resides on finding certainty in uncertainty. Praise God. Now let's move in our Bibles very quickly if we could. I want to take you to Hebrews 11 verse 8. I'm already feeling God wants me to go a different direction, so I'm going to go there. Hebrews 11, 8. Now, Hebrews 11, faith chapter. Okay? Now, notice this, if we could. We find The Scripture says in Hebrews 11:8, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, Abraham left Babel. He left that area of Shinar or whatever it was. But he left there to go out. And now God is linking this with the faith heroes. And he's saying he was called, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. So he went out not even knowing where he was going. Didn't have a clue. God said, go, and he went. I want you to see what God's trying to say to you, church. You are on the most certain path that you could ever be on right here tonight. Why? Because you have found yourself moving into the journey of faith. When you are in the world, what? The only thing you knew was what was coming. See what I'm saying? You knew, okay, I'm going to work tomorrow. You knew, okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing that. But when you enter the supernatural, you enter into a place that what? The familiarity with this world is lost. Your location is what? It's always debatable. What you do is always what? You move into a realm that you're a stranger. Now notice Saul, Abraham, God said go. He said go. And he said, Abraham said, okay, I'm gone. And so he went. But notice the scripture in the 9th verse says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Remember, this is the same God that looked at Abraham and said, look to the east, look to the west, look to the north, look to the south. Everywhere you look is your land. But the scripture says what? It says, but to Abraham, it was still a strange country. He was a stranger. Notice it says, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So after God showed him that he wasn't supposed to be in the bondage of that Babylonian system, he left it, but he still never found what? Familiarity with what God fleshly promised him. But what? His only thing was he was looking for a place that God built. In his own promised land, he was still a stranger. Don't you realize when God called him, something quickened within him. And what? It showed him that there is a place of eternity. Even if he was in the promised land, the issues of this still were there. He looked in the promised land. The problems of the promised land still were there. The uncertainty of that land was there. He'd lie about his wife, call her sister, which kind of part of she was. But yet, he would do that because of the uncertainty of where he was at. But it comes back around in Hebrews 11, and it says, by faith. By faith, he went where God told him to go, not understanding what God was trying to have him do. So now let's continue. Hebrews 11:13 talks about Sarah in the meantime there. In the 7th, 13th verse, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So their confession was that they were strangers, that they didn't belong, that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And this was a faith that pleased God. But notice, they didn't obtain the promise. Let's continue. Now notice this. So these all died in faith. In the 14th verse it says, for they that say such things, they that say such things as this. Saying what? They embracing and they're confessing that this, they cannot be satisfied with this natural surrounding. Don't you realize what shows you're a son of God is also the fact that you cannot be satisfied with sin dwelling in your members. That's what proves that you're a stranger, is when you and this are not in one accord. And what? Because you're trapped in this, because you're in the elements of the snow, you find yourself, you say that this, I cannot embrace this. But the more that this embraces me, the more I'm convinced that I'm embracing, that I am a stranger here. Praise God. So what are we talking about? Brother Cam, you've completely lost me already. Well, what we're trying to show you is that you will not find what you are until you realize that your satisfaction on this earth does not find its place on flesh level. Your goal, your purpose in life has absolutely nothing to do with your earthly accomplishments. But what? Your earthly accomplishments must point to the heavenly accomplishment. Right? You say, oh, I made $1 million. But yet on the other side, but I never seen my family. I never seen my church. I'm just going this way. Now, remember, if you become satisfied, this is for everyone, I've done the same thing. If all of us, if we become so perplexed that this right here is not our accomplishment. Right? Getting this filled with souls is why this is coming into place, is because you can do that wherever you are. But that is a sign that you've left the earthly and you're seated in heavenly places. I wish I could say this how I want to say it. But church, how blessed are we? It's like I was saying last night at the church. Do you realize how fortunate you are just to be in this place? How fortunate are you? I ask now is your question. Are you so fortunate now that you'll be happy in church? Are you so fortunate? I'm showing you what level you're fortunate, your acceptance of being fortunate is. Are you so fortunate that you like everybody in church? You like coming to church? Have you become so fortunate in it that you're obsessed with church? Have you become so fortunate in your walk with God that this is everything to you? Oh, you're saying church must be everything. I ask you, when Jesus was on earth, wasn't He always pressing to do the Father's work? Where does the Father's work come from? Everyone on this earth that has the ability is in a church somewhere. None of us here are on a mountain, I'm afraid to say. So what I'm trying to say tonight is that if we could just realize, we say we're fortunate, but how fortunate do you act? Are you so fortunate that everyone you come in contact with, that you're trying to show them what has made you fortunate? I'm trying to show you that 2014, it's time to express what you are. If you're a Christian, be a Christian. All churches are not the same. All Christians are not the same. There is a hope behind this word. There is a life behind this God. But He wants to see you get to a place that you can become a stranger to the will of this flesh. So notice, though Abraham found his position, God sent me to this land. I'm here. He still confessed he was a stranger. Well, you know, I finally made it. I've got laid off. But what is Cam Smith getting laid off about? Is it about me doing more what I want to do? Or is it the ability to now separate myself from a system that was owning me and allowing God to do what He wants to do through myself on a flesh level? This is starting to get hard. Now, let's continue here. 14th verse, it says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." Sounds good. "My Father's house are many mansions. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." If they only knew. It says, but now they desire a better country. That is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Wait a minute. So, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Because why? Because God can see a desire in their life for another country, a heavenly country. Anybody see what I'm saying? He sees the desire for you to let Him be a God within you. We've been working and working and working to try to show you that God is trying to empower this church. But He cannot empower you when you're stuck on the things of this flesh and the things of this life. I know we all need help, but by the grace of God, if we can just get aside from them. And see that the whole purpose of creation and its existence is getting ready to come into manifestation. Do you realize that? How important would your flesh be? You know what I love about hindsight? Because it'll plague you almost forever. I was thinking, I just had this thought pop in my head. I wish I wouldn't have sold that Ken Griffey Jr. card in 1988. It was worth $100. It's probably worth $10. But I had this thought coming in me just like a couple months ago. I said, I wish I would never got rid of that Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. I'm thinking, man, I'm like, why is that there? It's not even worth anything anymore. I could probably go buy one for $5 on eBay. It's true. But do you understand how our flesh works? We have all these things that are fighting us and tearing at us. And tell me how much of it has to do with the heavenly realm. But the problem is, you have not isolated yourself from the fleshly realm yet. Remember when the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, he said, but I have counted all things dung. Spent and worthless. It's all worthless. It's all worth nothing. What compared to the excellency he's found in Christ? Amen! Don't you see it, church? You say, oh, this happened in the past. We all say that. This thing! A baseball card? But you know what the funny thing about that is? I can't tell you how many times I've thought that. But it's just a piece of my flesh in my past that's still clinging to the world. I tell you, I don't love them. I don't love them anymore. I just gave them all to my nephews. I don't care. I've given them all away, thousands of dollars worth. I gave away. I don't need them. But still, something in here still holds on. And I say, oh, I just shouldn't have done that. And all it is a link to Egypt. You realize how many times we try to link ourselves with Egypt. Every time something in your past, maybe a lust of the eyes, a lust of the flesh, a pride of life, when it comes scraping at you and you catch it and you say, oh, and you're still linked to it. But all it is this flesh trying to link you with that world. When the heavenly, when it has found a new location to pull from. See what it is? You know what got me thinking about that card? Because my mom told me that my cards were at the house. But you know what I did? I went and looked for them. I spent 35 minutes looking for them things. I couldn't find them. Then my brother found them, and I rejoiced. And I looked through them, asked my wife. I looked through them, and I got on the internet, and I looked up the price guide. I'm like, wow, look, I got somebody out of it. And I started thinking, I said, what in the world has this got to do with anything? I said, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell them. I'm going to sell them, and I'm going to make lots of money. So the joke of it all is, I get on eBay. So let's see how rich I'm going to be. So I check eBay, and I look at that, and the book said it's worth this much, but eBay says it's only worth half that much. Sometimes even less. I say, but they're worth so much. But are they? I can't sell them for that. They must not be worth as much as that book says they are. They must not. Hallelujah. Amen. So I broke out my Karl Malone card from 1990. It was a star card. They only made 300 of them. And I said, boy, that's got to be worth a lot of money. There's only 300 of these in existence in the entire world. And I have one of them. I said, let's see. I couldn't find them in the price book, and I'm looking, I can't find nothing. So I say, I bet they're on sale for eBay. Can I imagine how much this card's worth? So I go to eBay. I look. My head drops down. $5.95. Said there's only 300 of them. How can it only be worth $5.95? And then I thought about it. I said, look at how much value I'm placing on an earthly tie that I once had. But the Holy Ghost come in my life and made me a stranger to Egypt. And what? I have no tie to that. I have no love for that. It's got to be nothing but the Father's will. I went all that direction to tell you that you will not find success in 2014. I'm not saying you don't plant your potatoes, but let our potatoes be so much less than the value of the move of God in our lives. I'm looking at a lot of people here. And every one of you has had links to this world. You've had mistakes that you've done with your family, mistakes you've done with friends. You have all sorts of things that have linked you to this flesh. And when Jesus came your way, His whole desire was what? He showed you the oppression of Egypt. And He satisfaction only in one place. So now, let's move a little bit if we can. Let's go in our Bibles. Now notice, what is the down payment of your inheritance? Very simply in this message, it's receiving the Holy Ghost. It should be, it has to be, the Holy Ghost that severs your lust for world off of you and bases it on what the accomplishment of heaven in your life. Now, let's notice this if we can. In 1 Peter 2:9. Can you believe that? Now tell me, how many of you know what your gift and calling is in the house of God? Are you sure that you know every gift and every calling that you have in the house of God? I wasn't raising my hand because I was just kind of doing that to see who's going to raise their hand. But some of us have found maybe a position. But a position is not necessarily your gift. Within the 9 spiritual gifts within the church, have you located what God has given you to touch heaven with? Well, it's obviously my wisdom. But literally, God gave you the ability to link in with the heavenly. And here we sit. But the problem is, we're still too accustomed to this world. We've sitting too much in Egypt, and we have not gotten a place that the heavenly can fully express. Meaning what? We're not showing the revelation of the heart of a stranger. Now, we can probably take this a few directions, but in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." How many, you don't have to raise your hand, I'll do it again. You don't have to follow up on this act if you don't want to. But how many are still in a place in their walk with God that you feel like God hasn't given you mercy for something? Thank you for not raising your hand. Because, you see, we might say, okay, well, God set me free. But then watch how the devil links you into Egypt. Maybe you have a besetting sin, something that it's always been a great weakness to you. And you have that problem when you're out in the world, perhaps you, whatever, it could be anything, and I don't want to say anything because I might say something. But yet, in all of that, you realize that you might have had a weakness, and you always had that problem. But when you come to this message, when you come to the Holy Ghost, God has set you free. Amen. And you found that you didn't love it so much anymore. But after a while, you started cooling down a little bit in your religion. And the more you cooled down, the more you begin to find your affinity with Egypt again. Now remember what we're talking about here. We're talking about people who complained and murmured against God provoked him so bad that they couldn't even go into the promised land. And here we find ourselves not obtaining mercy. Well, I still do this. I'm still bad at that. I still fail here. But notice, Peter said, the people of God were a people who hadn't obtained mercy. But he said, but now have obtained mercy. Now? Where? When did they obtain mercy? Let's continue. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. What is abstaining from fleshly lusts? Let me say it like this. Is abstaining from fleshly lust, is it a law or is it a state of mind? Because one links you to the flesh and the other one links you to the heavenly. What made you a Christian? The ability to look Christ-like. The ability to live the law like Christ lived it. Or the desire to look like Christ. What gave you salvation? The ability to save yourself. Or the desire to have one give you salvation. So the link, it never can go back to the flesh. But it must always find itself coming back to the place that it moves from a desire. A desire. A love. God, I want to serve you, God. Baseball cards kick in. You're still trying that one? I'm getting rid of them, devil. You know I am. I don't need them. See, he can bring it by. And I wasted some time doing it. But I look and I say, my desire was proved. Now let me tell you something. If my mom finds the rest of my collection, I guarantee you, I'm probably going to want to look at them. But this is what I'll tell you. Although I wasted my time with that thing I used to lust after, I failed God there. I wasted a lot of time. I could have been praying. Some good deeds I'm sure I could have been doing. I don't know about you, but I consider that unbelief. Isn't that where we usually condemn ourselves? And how we waste so much of our ability doing things that have no productivity. And then we find ourselves giving God so little. But then you find, although you waste that, something in you turns back around and says, my desire remains for the cross. Well, that's what Peter was saying. Abstain from them. But you have to see that you are a stranger here. This is not your home. This is not your place. You should not feel comfortable in this world. I didn't say you shouldn't feel content, but you should never get into a place in this world. I am so satisfied. I am so satisfied with my iPhone. I just spent 14 hours trying to fix it. And I drug poor Brother Dustin in right in with me over a stupid phone. But where does our satisfaction lie at? You feel better now that I'm preaching against myself? But we all fall short, and there's so many different ways you can do it. You cannot limit it. Because we all have what? Weaknesses of the flesh that we're drawn away and tempted of our own flesh. And we go this direction and that direction and that direction. And we find ourselves linked back into the past. But the Scripture said that you must be a stranger here. Now, I want to get to a few more places. This is what I want you to see, if we could. Let me start moving this in here. Ephesians 2:18. He says, For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. 19 verse. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now tell me! You know now! That you're not a stranger because you found what? You found the ultimate place where you come from, the household of God, but you're not there. You're not there. So here you are, still trapped in the flesh. Say, well, I know where I'm going now. I know where I come from. But every chance you get, you try to do something for God, and Satan tries to completely draw that link right back to the world. Every time. Every time. Where we choose the things of our flesh over the things of God. When God should be everything, you should be the chief importance of everything we do in our life. Hands down! Calling so-and-so. No, that's not my chief goal. My chief goal is to please God. If God wants me to do it, I'll do it. But if God wants me to give time to God, it's God's time. So now, I want us to see now, if we take a little turn here. I'm not going to have time to go this direction because I'm already going long. But we find out that the Scripture, God tells them through... He tells them through the prophets and so forth in Ezekiel 22:6-8, and then 29-31. There's many places that talks about this. But we find out that God tells Israel through Moses, He says, do not oppress the strangers. I'm bringing this back around for your benefit. I hope you can see this. But now you find that God tells them, don't you oppress the strangers. Because remember, Israel had people coming in.
strangers. You oppressed them. You broke them down. And because you broke them down, I will now consume you. So now God is linking them as strangers, their heart as finding their possession, right back to the place of how they treat the strangers who are in their midst. Now, let me show you a little bit, if I can move this into the New Testament. I'm going to start in the Old Testament now. Leviticus 19:33, and it says, if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. The word vex means to plague, to torment, to harass, to afflict. So notice, God was judging natural Israel about how they treated everyone else. Don't vex them. Don't treat them like second class and treat this individual better than you treat them. I'm telling you this because there's an application for you. Because remember, Jesus come back around in the New Testament. He said, you love one another. He said, to love your enemies. As thyself. Now notice this in finishing Leviticus 19:34. He tells them, don't vex them. And then the 34th verse, he says, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. All they got to do is come in your midst. And you're supposed to treat them like they're one of you. Notice what he says. And thou shalt love him as thyself. So wait! They're not of the stock of Israel. They're not of the seed of Israel. And God tells them, if they want to come in and join the religion that you have joined, if they even come around, treat them like they're one of you. Now remember, this is all about you. Ready? It says, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord, your God. So now we're right back down to strangers. You got to love them as yourself? Now notice here, if we could, I want to bridge this now and we're about done. You see that God is now saying, okay, you're a stranger. You have the heart of a stranger, but you found your identity in the household of God. You're still like Abraham. You don't know exactly where you're going, but you've left the world and now you're going wherever God would lead you. But now we find the scriptural tie is the fact that you have to treat everyone like they're not strangers when the stranger comes in amongst you. Or when you, remember, this is your world, church. The saints shall inherit the world. Everywhere that your feet go, you have the potential to meet a fellow stranger. Now notice this. Why is this coming in here? Remember Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, He come to His own, and His own received Him not. He come to His people, the God of gods, the Messiah, and what? They literally ran Him out. They killed their own Messiah. notice this. So Jesus, he said, I come from my Father and I go back to him. But look at what he says here. We know what this passage is. This passage is about judgment. But notice in Matthew 25:34, Christ calls them to the white throne judgment. It says here, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Notice this. For I was a hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. So the whole time, through the entire Scripture, God wanted what? He wanted the people of God to feel like a stranger and to treat people like a stranger. What, as far as to treat the stranger like themselves? Because the whole fact of the matter was, he was a stranger to his own congregation, his own creation, and the creation didn't accept him. Do you realize the significance of this? When Christ began his ministry, they didn't even treat him like an Israelite. They treated him like a complete stranger. Because what? The linkage with a stranger in Israel is oppression. And they put the oppression on the Son of God. So God, the whole time, even back in Exodus, was preparing them for a visitation for the Messiah. If he comes in, look at him. Make sure each one of you remember, they didn't even think he was of the seed line. They thought that he was a child of fornication. As far as they were willing to count him out. But notice here, he says, and I was a stranger, and ye took me in. What was the Samaritan? When all the Levites and the priests were walking by, it was the Samaritan that took care of the stranger. The religious, what? They were giving place to society. But the seed of God was always looking after the stranger. And now you see why. The Samaritan, he would receive eternal life. But you see, the religious, what? It was all about them. Catch it? Meaning what? It was all about their social system. It was all about who fits in with us. It was all about, okay, this is us. When we find out that the heart of the stranger always treated a stranger like you'd treat yourself. And we find Jesus Christ, what? Telling them. God has not left any of us an excuse for this because he placed it in the Bible and he said what? He said they'll come to the judgment. Say, God, why? How in the world can I have salvation? And he says what? He says, naked and you clothe me. 36 verse. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked, you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Such a simple principle. Such a hard one to live. Notice also, if we could just join this in with the scripture very quickly, Hebrews 13:2 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. There's a lot in this, isn't there? It says, beloved, thou doest faithfully, for 3 John 1:5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Strangers? You're a stranger. The only difference is, just like Abraham, he was called out. You've been called out by a message. And the message has shown you that you're a stranger. You're just a foreigner. You won't be at home until everything's renovated and New Jerusalem comes on down. But we find that God is also looking at the new commandment. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So what can we do to make this live? Do you realize that out of your tongue and out of your action is the only place where Jesus Christ can fully come forth from? People can find Christianity from nominal Christianity, but they're still finding the ecumenical move. The only place they can find spirit and truth is in the bride of Jesus Christ. Brother, sister, I know what it's like to feel oppressed. I've been living in it for a long time now. You should be saying, brother, I know what it's like. Well, what does it feel like to be a stranger? How can you tell? How are you supposed to show that you're a stranger here? You're first supposed to identify a lack of feeling in. A lack of feeling associated with your surroundings. I'm not satisfied with all this stuff. I'm telling you, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you know it. You know when you're doing too much, wasting your time and doing all these things. The Holy Ghost tells you that. He's not the Holy Ghost if He wouldn't. Because the Holy Ghost is what? He's the tutor. He's showing you how to love God. Let's stand. Remember, the only thing that goes in is divine love. We're finding that now it's come to us. Will we fulfill the duty of divine love? Hope this ain't too hard. I go too long. I hope not. But in the midst of it all, how many say, God, I don't feel like I belong here anymore. I don't feel like this is my home. I'm not finding a satisfaction in the things of the world like I used to. And even when I do indulge in them too much, I feel so dirty. All you're saying is that you have identified with an experience that says this is no longer your home. So now, what becomes your mission? To please God? And to express the divine love to the stranger. That the stranger can find the same satisfaction. Now, here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying we act like we're oppressed. We walk around like we're oppressed. No, because don't you realize the only place you have joy is in feeling the oppression of the world. Because the lack of satisfaction you find in this places you that you can only find your satisfaction in here. Praise God. Good place to start off your new year, I suppose. Let's get away from our flesh. Let's get away from doing what we want to do. And let us in turn entertain every stranger we can come upon. Have anybody found an angel yet? They're out there. I think we should fulfill that. Praise God. Amen. I hope I didn't fight you too hard. Praise God. How many would like to say, Lord, I want to be more connected to my heavenly home. Lord, I want to show more people the satisfaction I found in my new home. I'm still traveling around. I'm still not knowing where I'm going all the way. But I found a satisfaction in this word. When I feel oppressed, it's because I'm linking myself back in with Egypt. I don't want to link in with Egypt no more, Lord. I want to fully tie in with my heavenly purpose and find my satisfaction there, God. Lord, bring them souls, God. Move those hearts, Lord. And God, put us in the places we need to be as we pray. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God. Little broken up message, Lord. But Lord, I pray, oh God, that the church can find the relevance in the Word, Lord. And Lord, that they, oh God, can be, oh God, relating to the fact that they're not happy being halfway tied in with the world or being partially tied in with the world. We want to plant potatoes, God, but we want to be such a stranger to this world that we can receive the promise, God. We can move and walk so much in the Holy Ghost that thus saith the Lord can have its preeminence in our lives. God, I just ask tonight, Lord, that You'd move within this church, God. Lord, let us not oppress, O God. Lord, strangers, God. But let us realize, God, that we're the whole purpose why this plan is still going, God, to manifest Your life from within us, God. Therefore, just like You told the prophet, don't fear anything, even anywhere to go, but know that You're with them, God. May we have this mind. That we can reach the elected seed, Lord, that have not found root yet. God, I just pray tonight, Lord, that You just have Your way, Lord. Move in our hearts, Lord. And God, draw us closer to that place with You. I just ask tonight, Lord, that You just, Lord, let us yield ourselves in 2014. Let us find satisfaction in the revival that You called us to be in. Lord, let us find no other place of satisfaction in this world, God. and take it from us, God. Burn it from us, Lord. We just ask that you just have your way, Lord, now in the bride of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, keep us all safe, Lord. Let us rejoice for hearing the word of life tonight, Lord. Let us, O God, find an anchor place tonight, Lord, as we said last night, Lord. Let us, O God, be such a partaker, Lord, in the Word, an accomplice with the Word. God, I pray you just have your way, Lord, now. Give us safety, Lord. And, Lord, finish your purpose in our lives, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we believe it will be done. We say, amen. If you need a prayer, we'd be happy to pray for you tonight. Maybe we'll just sing a song as we invite the song leader up. How many are looking forward to 2014?
Amen.
How many believe that God is going to do something tremendous in 2014? Amen. How many believe that God could start it this year?
Amen.
How many feel like you're ready for that? Amen. Praise God. Let's sing that song. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger when the saints go marching in.
I'm a pilgrim and a stranger wandering through this world of sin on my way to that fair city. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching, oh, I know I'll see my Savior if my life is free from sin. Heaven's doors will open for me. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in.
Shouting glory, glory. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I know I'll be. Crown him Lord of Lords. to be in that number when we crown Him Lord of Lords.
I know,
yes, I know, I'll see my Savior. Oh, if my life is free from sin, heaven's doors open for me when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. From and a stranger wandering through this world of sin, on my way to that fair city, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Lord, I know I'll be in that number when the saints go marching in.
Amen. Give God a round of applause, saints. Amen. Why don't you sing that song, Where Could I Go But to the Lord Living Below?
Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving along to face temptation's door, tell me where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, tell me where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. I'm needing a friend to help me in the. Just tell me where could I go but to the Lord? Well, neighbors are kind. I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from up, just tell me where could I go? Oh, tell me now where. Oh, tell me where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where life here is grand, with friends I love so dear, comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, tell me where but to the Lord? Could I go seeking a refuge? Oh, for my soul, I'm needing a friend to help me in the end. Oh, tell me where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, tell me where could I go? Oh, where could I go seeking a refuge? go but to the Lord. Well, neighbors are kind, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, tell me, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to...
Of applause, saints.
Amen. Amen. How many are blessed tonight? Amen. Glad you came out in the snow. Amen. No matter what, amen. The word of God was good to us tonight. Amen. Let's just sing that song, God is Good All the Time.
Oh, God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. Our God is good all the time. To thank Him, oh, love and praise Him. Little more today and a whole lot.
Sing that to God. Ain't God good?
Ain't God good? To give us so many blessings, undeserving. That's what we are. We are to thank Him. Him a little more today and a whole lot more.
God is good.
Oh, God is good. God is good. Oh, all the time He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God, oh, God is good. All the time, with darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. Our God is good all the time.
Amen. Let's give God a round of applause, saints. Amen. Just sing that song, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. Amen. How many just can't wait for that day when we can just march on over, amen, just like Enoch marched with Him. Amen. Right into perfection, amen.
Come we that love the Lord, let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus serve round the throne and thus around the throne. For we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. Oh, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly field, before we reach the heavenly field, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets. Oh, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. Oh, we're marching. Oh, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city. One more time as we're dismissed. Oh, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God.